We're glad you could join us today for the Concepts of Faith broadcast. This program is dedicated to teach you how to put the Word of God to work so that it will make a positive difference in the everyday circumstances of your life. And now, here's Charles Capps.
We're continuing on the subject of angels. We're talking about angels in the Old Testament. Now, we've talked about in the last session the king's right-hand man that heard the word of the Lord from the prophet of God and said, "There'll be plenty of food in Samaria by this time tomorrow." And he said, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, that wouldn't happen. But we found out it did happen. The four lepers started down to the enemy's camp. And I want to point out again, before we move on to this next scripture, the fact that these four lepers were not under pressure. These four lepers simply were just going down there in faith that maybe they'd be fed and saved alive. Now, I've mentioned this all through the teaching, is that I have never found where there was supernatural deliverance of angels where people were worried and fretting and complaining and all tied in knots over the deal. It was always where they were in faith. Now, let's go into 2 Chronicles, the 32nd chapter. I want us to see the story here that Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, was coming against or writing letters to Hezekiah and telling him what he was going to do for him. And I mean, he said, I'm going to put it in Arkansas English. He said, I'm going to clean your plow, boy. I mean, we're going to put you under, and nobody will be able to deliver you out of our hands. Now, listen to what Hezekiah did. And he set captains of war, we begin with verse 6 here, set captains of war over the people and gathered them together to him in the street, the gate of the city, and spake comfortably unto them. Spake comfortably unto them. In other words, he didn't go out there and tell them, hey, what are we going to do? We're in trouble now. No, he just simply spoke comfort to them and said, be strong and courageous, be not afraid, nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him. Now, does that kind of strike a note of familiarity? Is the fact that he's saying the same thing that Elisha said when his servant went out and said, my goodness, we're surrounded. What are we going to do, master? And he just simply replied, there's more with us than there is with them. Well, now here again, we see the same situation. Now this king is in a bad spot. Naturally speaking, what is he going to do? He does not have the people that he can come against such a great army. But the Bible didn't say that he got worried and fretful and all that. He said he spake comfortably unto them. And with him, is the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. The people believed it. The people rested on it. After this did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, send his servants to Jerusalem, and to Hezekiah, king of Judah, and to all Judah that were in Jerusalem, saying, thus saith Sennacherib, king of Assyria, where do ye trust that ye abide in the siege in Jerusalem? Doth not Hezekiah persuade you to give over yourselves to die by famine, by thirst, saying, the Lord our God shall deliver us out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Hath not the same Hezekiah taken away the high places and his altars and commanded Judah and Jerusalem, saying, ye shall worship before one altar and burn incense thereon? Know ye not what I and my father have done unto all the people of the other lands? Now listen, he's beginning to brag here. He said, what we've done to all the other lands, were the gods of the nations of those lands anyways able to deliver their lands out of my hand? In other words, he's telling them, you've had it. You're not going to be able to be delivered. Your God's not going to deliver you. All the other gods didn't deliver them. Who was there among all the gods of those nations that my father utterly destroyed that could deliver his people out of my hand? That your God should be able to deliver you out of my hand. Now, therefore, let not Hezekiah deceive you, nor persuade you on this matter, neither yet believe him. For no god of any nation or kingdom was able to deliver his people out of my hand and out of the hand of my fathers. How much less shall your God deliver you out of my hand? Now, you know, he's doing a lot of big talking, isn't he? And his talking is against God. So he's provoking angels, there's no doubt about it. And his servants spake yet more against the Lord God and against the servants of Hezekiah. He wrote also a letter to rail on the Lord God of Israel, to speak against him, saying, as the gods of the nations of other lands have not delivered their people out of my hand, so shall not the God of Hezekiah deliver his people out of my hand. Then they cried with a loud voice in the Jews' speech unto the people of Jerusalem that were on the wall, to affright them and to trouble them, that they might take the city. And they spake against the God of Jerusalem and against the gods of the people of the earth, which were the work of the hands of men. For this cause Hezekiah the king and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amoz prayed and cried unto heaven, and the Lord sent an angel. The Lord sent an angel which cut off all the mighty men of valor, and the leaders and captains of the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned with shame of face to his own land, and when he was come into the house of his God, they that came forth out of his own bowels slew him there with the sword. Now, here you find that the angels were provoked. And when you study this out, there was actually, if we run other scripture references, you would find that there was 185,000 men here that were destroyed in one night. The whole army was wiped out because of supernatural angelic intervention. The angel of the Lord came on the scene. Now you notice that they were trusting in God. They were not trusting in the arm of the flesh. They had committed themselves to God. And you see that God wrought a special deliverance for them through the ministry of angels. Now let's go to Numbers, the 22nd chapter. In Numbers chapter 22, we have the story of Balaam. It seems that Balak, the son of Zippor, wanted Balaam the prophet to come and prophesy against the children of Israel. He had noticed that they were covering the earth around him, and we'll take up here in verse 6. He says, come now therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too many for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that we may drive them out of the land. For I know that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. Now, you know, it is interesting here that even this man, even though he's a wicked man, bound to be, trying to get him to curse the children of Israel, he believed that if the prophet cursed Israel, they would be cursed. Now, notice what happened here. Now, Balaam went before God on the matter. And God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? And Balaam said, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent them to me, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt that covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them, peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said to Balaam, thou shalt not go with them, thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And Balaam told Balak what he said. But Balak was not satisfied with that. He wouldn't take no for an answer, in other words. So he came back again, and you find that he sent again, in verse 15, he sent again princes and more honorable than they, and he came and talked with him again. He said, I will promote thee unto a very high honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, and curse this people. Now, Balaam answered, and said, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. But as they continued with him, he finally gave in. He said, well, I'll go back before the Lord one more time. And notice what happened. And God came unto Balaam, verse 20, God came unto Balaam at night and said, unto him, If the men come and call thee, rise up and go with them, but yet the word which I shall say unto thee, thou shalt do. Balaam rose up in the morning to go with them, and God's anger was kindled because he went. Now this, when you read this sometimes, you might say, well, why in the world was God's wrath kindled or his anger kindled when he said for him to go with them? And because he went, he got angry about it. But you have to understand something. God said, don't go down here. Now we ought to take heed to that. I think sometimes we do the same thing with God. We'll go before God or his word, and we find out what he said in his word, and then we'll go pray about it and see what God will say himself about it when we already have his word for it. And to tell you quite frankly, God's not going to change his mind. What he said, he means, and he's made the decision. He said, don't go with them. You're not going to curse them. You're going to bless them if you go. He said, just don't go. But he went back and asked the Lord again. Now, I think there's some things, some implications here that we could get into. We might get sidetracked, so I guess we might better just stay with this. But when we ask God something, we ought to stay with what he said. Balaam provoked the angel of the Lord when he went back to God again concerning a matter that God had already answered him on.
Thank you so much for joining us for the Concepts of Faith broadcast today. And before I leave the broadcast, I want to remind you all this week we have a CD offer number 7240, The Substance of Things. Two CDs for $15 plus $4 postage and handling, total of $19. Now, you know, in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, it says, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, hope is a partner to faith. So, faith is giving substance to things hoped for, and it is the evidence of things not seen. Now, sometimes you hear people say, oh, well, now don't get their hopes up, you know, talking about somebody that's got some dreaded disease and they think they're going to die. Well, don't get their hopes up. Well, sure you want to get their hopes up. If faith is a substance of things hoped for, and you have no hope, if you had all the faith in the world, there would be nothing for faith to give substance to. So you have to have hope. You have to have supernatural hope from the Word of God to apply your faith in that hope. Faith is giving substance to what you hope for. Now, it's not just talking about empty hope based on just what you desire. It's based on the authority of the Word of God. Speaking of Abraham, the Apostle Paul says he believed in hope when there was no hope. Now, how can you believe in hope when there is no hope? Because it was supernatural hope. And some of you, there may be no natural hope for you, physically or financially or whatever, but there's supernatural hope. God's Word is the substance. It has the seed of what you need in it. And faith is a substance of things hoped for. Now, if you have hope based on the authority of the Word of God, you have something for faith to give substance to. You need this
CD offer number 7240. Two CDs for $15 plus $4 postage and handling, a total of $19.
The toll-free order line is 1-877-396-9400, 1-877-396-9400. Until tomorrow, this Charles Capps reminding you, the enemy is defeated, God is exalted, and yes, Jesus is coming soon.
To order the product offered today, call 1-877-396-9400 or write Charles Capps, P.O. Box 69, England, Arkansas, 72046. A complete list of CDs, books, and DVDs are available online at charlescapps.com. Through the website, you can listen to this radio program again and subscribe to our podcast. This broadcast is sponsored by Charles Capps Ministries and our listeners in this area.